morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. If you need prayer this morning, we want to invite you to join us in the chat room. Otherwise, join with us as we sing and worship together. We'll be singing about the blood of Jesus. Let's sing.
What can wash away my sin?
Oh, Good morning, church family. My name is Rachel Crowley, and I'm the clinical director here at the Counseling Center at All Baptist. And I just first want to start by saying thank you. Thank you for how you've given to support this ministry. We are so grateful for the lives that we have seen changed, marriages that have been restored, people with depression being delivered, folks who've been crippled by anxiety see changes in their life, and that's all by the grace of God. We have seen folks come to know Jesus as their personal Savior, and with that point, we know that's the beginning of true healing. Right now, in our country, we are being faced with some very scary times, and you would think our numbers would be going down at this point, but they're going up. People are reaching out because they're alone and they're afraid, and I want you to know that we're here to help you. And right now, we're doing more of our sessions through telehealth, and just now been given the word that the state is shutting down, and we won't have all the answers, but we know that God is in control, and God will use this counseling ministry to help you. And we want you to know that we have ways to be communicated with without being face to face. So during these times, I want to encourage our church members just to continue to give, because this counseling ministry will not go away because of the people not coming. Their people are coming and they need our help. And I just want to say thank you for everything you have done, and just want to leave you with knowing that God is in control and God knows. Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel, for sharing with us about the counseling ministry and that wonderful video. Years ago, I had prayed that God let us have a counseling ministry. It took us years and years, but finally we got the right person, the right place, and grateful to God for Rachel and all of her team. And as you give, you make that possible. And during this time, with depression and difficulty, they are as busy as they have ever been. So continue to give. Thank you for your tithe and offering and being a part of Olive. And you support a lot of things when you give right here in this place. And one of those is the counseling ministry that you just heard about. Now, tonight, I want to encourage you that you tune in with us at 6 o'clock. We're going to have the Lord's Supper together tonight. I'll be with my wife, John, Angie, going to help us with that as well. And in my home, we'll share the Word of God. And then many of you have picked up these little pre-packaged communion sets, and there is a piece of bread on top, and just peel that off. We'll take the bread together, then the second peel where you peel back that top, and we take the juice together, and we remember the broken body and the shed blood of our Lord. So be ready tonight at 6 o'clock, and we'll have a great service as we gather together in our homes all across this place and asking the Lord. On this Palm Sunday, we look back and we remember when Jesus came riding in to Jerusalem. And someone said, "Well, who is that?" And as he rode in, and they put the coats in front of him, and they cut branches, and they brought Jesus into the city, and they asked the question, "Who is that?" One person responded in Matthew 21, "That is Jesus, the man from Nazareth." We honor him as we worship together. And on this Sunday, we remember the one who gave his life for us. I want to lead us as we pray. Our musician's going to come and lead us as we praise and give glory unto the Lord again. And then we'll open the Word of God into the Psalms and seeing what the Lord would speak to us this day. Father, I thank you for our opportunity to be together in worship. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would come among us and draw people unto yourself. Walk into every home, every office where people are watching and worshiping together today. And I pray that you would have your way in my heart and in every heart that joins together for worship today. Lord, we're grateful to have John Tyner back with us. Thank you, Lord. He's safely home from Ethiopia and that mission endeavor. And I pray, God, your blessing on him today as he leads us, as we give praise unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
children, generations, every nation, kingdom come. So don't let your heart be troubled. Hold your head up high, don't fear no evil. Fix your eyes on this one truth. God is madly in love with you. So take courage, hold on, be strong. Remember where our help comes from.
John, thank you, man. Great job. I love that. Let the praise go up and the walls come down. I love that phrase. It comes out of that dear old song. Amen. It's new to us and grateful to God for the singing of it. Well, again, welcome to Olive Online this morning. I want to invite you to take your Bible and go to the book of Psalms, to the 142nd Psalm. Several weeks ago, I put this series in place, and this is the fifth message out of the Psalms. I'm looking at the five Psalms that are called prayers. Little did I know that we were going to be living in the book of Psalms and praying out of Psalms like we have been during this coronavirus pandemic across the world. And as it came here, of course, to us and all that's transpired and coming to the place where the governor even this week has issued that stay at home and for people, unless you have to be out and doing essential work and getting to where you need to be, that we just need to be staying at home as much as possible. They call it flattening the curve. Well, we've prayed about a lot of things, and I come today to this fifth message. I believe it was just God's sovereign hand in leading me through these Psalms because they have so fit our time and what we've needed here in the body life of our church at Olive. We're in the 142nd Psalm today in a message that I have entitled David in Lockdown. David in Lockdown. Psalm 142, we find the servant of the Lord and here he is. I cry aloud with my voice to the Lord. I make supplication with my voice to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before Him. I declare my trouble before Him. Verse 3, here is David's cry. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, you knew my path. In the way where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see, for there is no one who regards me. There is no escape for me. No one cares for my soul. I cried out to you, O Lord, and I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Give heed to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring my soul out of prison so that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. Now, you've got your Bible open there in front of you. I want you to look back where it says 142, the numerical heading, and above the number, you find this introduction. It is also a part of the inspired Word of God. Not all Psalms have it, but some have this introduction. And this particular Psalm has this introduction. A maskil of David, M-A-S-K-I-L. That word maskil means instruction. This is the instruction of David, and notice it, when he was in the cave, when he was in the cave, a prayer. Only the fifth psalm that is given that heading as a prayer of David. It's a maskil. We know it's for instruction. It tells us that David is the author. And then it gives us the context. When he was in the cave, David is in lockdown. He's running from Saul. We know that from 1 Samuel chapters 22, 23, and 24. When you read that context, David is on the run from Saul. We find in 1 Samuel 23, 14, in the middle of that, these words. Look at this. David stayed in the wilderness in the strongholds. There it is, the strongholds. Those are the caves. And he remained in the hill country of the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him, that is David, into his, that is Saul's, hands. David was on the run, and he would hide in the strongholds, in the caves. We find him in the cave of Adullam and in the cave of En-Gedi. And when you read that, and I encourage you to do it, go back and read again in 1 Samuel chapter 22, 23, and 24, and you find David. He is on the run. He's lost Samuel. He's lost his wife. He's really lost his standing. Saul is burning with anger against David, and he's trying to come against him every day, and he wants to kill him and just stamp him out. And David flees, and he goes from hill to hill and cave to cave, and he's hiding and on the run. And David says, I can just see him, maybe at that cave in Adullam. It's a large place, as we're going to see, because a lot of people came to be with him there. David is in that cave. Maybe he's thinking this prayer. Maybe later he would write it down, or maybe he's in the cave and writing down this prayer. But we see in verse 3, listen to David. He says, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. That word overwhelmed in the Hebrew tongue is the word ateph. A-T-A-P-H, ateph. It means to be feeble or to be faint-hearted. It's as if he's on his last leg. It's as if he had crutches, but he's had to throw those away. He's got nothing. His spirit is overwhelmed, and he begins to complain. And his complaint, we always do this. When our heart is overcome and our spirit is overwhelmed, we have a tendency to gripe and complain. Well, David does that. In verse 4, he said, I look to the right and I see there is no one who regards me. David simply says, no one will help me. Be very careful in this time of this storm. When you're hiding, when you're trying to be careful, you'll look around and you'll think as your spirit gets overwhelmed, there's nobody to help me. No one helps me. Then David goes a step farther, and he says in the last part of verse number 4, there's no escape for me, for no one cares for my soul. Nobody to help. No one just even gives a rip about me. I'm just here in this mess, and I'm all by myself. Dear friend, I want to challenge you this morning. I want to encourage you, and I want you to remember this. Be very careful during this virus pandemic. Be very careful, because isolation in the storm can be crushing to your soul. If you just say, no one around me, all by myself, no one really cares, I can't find anybody, and you can be in a crowd of people and just feel that, and you just close in. This is no time to do that. Isolation in the middle of a storm will crush your spirit. Don't dare do it. You are not alone. I'm telling you, there are people who care about you, and there are people around you that love you. Don't isolate yourself. That's what David did, and he was overwhelmed. But in his time of despair, David has sense enough to cry out. He cries out unto the Lord. And in the very first verse, I cry aloud with my voice to the Lord. In verse number 5, I cried out to you, O Lord. He begins to pray and to pray and to pray, and God does a work. Spurgeon said, if David had prayed as much in the palace as he prayed in the cave, he probably would have stayed out of Bathsheba's bed. Sometimes the storm leads us to depth in our intercession, where God protects us, sometimes even in our most difficult moments. I have 3 admonitions for us this morning, some things that I don't want you to lose. In the middle of this storm, when we're in lockdown, like David was locked down in the cave, while you're at home staying by yourself in isolation, I want to admonish you on 3 fronts. First of all, I want to admonish you, do not lose faith. Don't lose faith. He cries out in verse number 5. Oh Lord, you are my refuge. You're my refuge. You're the stronghold. You're the place of protection where I run. Listen to what the psalmist said over and over. Psalm 46 and verse number 1, the Bible says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. In our time of trouble, God is the refuge. He is our strength. He's a very present help in our time of trouble. Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. Listen to what the Word of God says. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say unto the Lord, my refuge and my witness, my God in whom I trust. He is the fortress. He is the refuge, the psalmist says, that I run into. And then in Psalm 94 and verse 22, we find the Bible says, the psalmist goes on, but the Lord has been my stronghold and my God, the rock of my refuge. Don't lose your faith. During this time, run, run, run and cry out to the refuge. Run to that place. And it's really not a place. Run to that person. The Lord Jesus Christ is your refuge. He is the rock of your salvation. Run to Him and find that place. When I was a little boy, I would go down to Pisgah Gorge. It's a beautiful place. Those high rocky mountains of North Alabama, and there's a couple of waterfalls that when the rainy season would come, the water would just gush. As Boy Scouts, we'd spend the night there, and sometimes a little storm would flash up. And there was one place when we were walking on the path, we found it, and all of us knew where it was. When the storm would come and the rain would, and we were out, there was a huge rock, and it was like it had been broken open, and there was room for two or three, and you could crawl up under that rock, and we've done it many times. We would crawl up into that rock that had broken open. You could kind of just get down, not quite on your knees, just to bend over, and you could slide in and wait for the storm to pass by. It was our refuge. Augustus Toplady thought of that when he wrote the song, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. People have wondered, where was Toplady when he wrote this song? Where was Augustus when he wrote this? Some have said, well, he was in a storm and he was coming out. Others say, no, that's not that. We really don't know the background, but boy, what a great old hymn that it is. Rock of Ages, cleft, broken open for me. It's the refuge. But friend, in this time, I admonish you, do not lose your faith. Run to God. Cry out to God. And ask the Lord to be your stronghold and your refuge. Find a quiet place and just cry out. Whatever's in your heart, just pour it out unto God. He waits to hear and to guard you and to guide you during these days. I admonish you, do not lose faith. But now, secondly, I want to encourage you in a second admonition, do not lose relationships. Don't lose your relations. Don't lose your faith in Almighty God. But also, don't lose your relationships. When we get down to verse number 7 in our text, the Bible says, bring my soul out of prison so that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me. They'll be all around me. That is, the people will be around me. David, you already heard him say, he felt like he was all alone. No one was there. When you find him in 1 Samuel 22, in the first verse of that text, the Bible says that his father and his brothers came to him. His family came. It's very important that you have your family around you during these times. And in 1 Samuel 22 and verse 1, they came and they were with him. But not just his family members, his brothers. when you read in verse number 2, the Bible says that there were 400 other people who came into that cave with him. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 22 and verse 2, everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was discontented gathered to him. They came to David, and he became captain over them. Now, there were about 400 men with him. Now, get the picture. David is overwhelmed in his soul. He learns first to cry out to God, and he garners and gathers faith. But now, his family comes to him. And then these 400 come to him, and David becomes their captain. Later in 2 Samuel, you'll find that David has this group of mighty men. No doubt, some of those mighty men came out of this ragtag group that came around. Now, look at these. Boy, you said, Pastor, I don't have many good friends. Well, you're in good company. Look what David had. These men came, and they're three D's that came. Number one, the distressed came around him. We got a lot of distressed people around us today. You need to befriend them, they'll befriend you. Number two, they were in debt. Saul had laid great taxation on the people, and indebtedness was heavy on these people. Those that were distressed, those that were in debt, and those that were discontent. This was the Baptist crowd that came into this cave that day. No doubt they were discontented, and they came. And here's David. He's got his family around him. Then he's got all the distressed, the debt-ridden, and the discontented. And the Bible says he became their captain, and they stayed with him. Dear friends, I'm telling you, during this time of pandemic, don't lose your faith. Oh, but my goodness, don't lose your relationships. Hug your family. Love on your children, your grandchildren. Then love on your friends that are around you. Even those that are discontent, distressed, depressed, debt-ridden, lost their job. We need one another during these days. David loved these men and became their leader, and out of them came David's mighty men. You never know what God's doing in the middle of this storm, in the middle of this pandemic. God's raising up some champions. You need to make what I've called this week on some of our morning prayer times. I've called it a Romans 16 list. We all need one. Paul lists his dear friends in Romans 16, and he lists all of those names, goes down through the Urbanus and different ones that are listed, many names that when you read it, you won't even be able to pronounce their names because they're very difficult. But nonetheless, he's just naming name after name after name after, and he's saying, remember this one, remember this one. You need to make a Romans 16 list this week. Write your family on that list. Write your friends on that list. For us here at the church, we write our staff members, our deacons, and our friends on that list. We began to pray for them. We connect with them. I had a letter in the mail. Came this week, one of our sweet ladies. She's 92 years old. She sent me her April tithe check. From time to time she does that. She doesn't always send it to me. But she did this week. What was an encouragement to me to hear from her. And she wrote a sweet note and said, Pastor, these people are looking after me. I have a brother that goes and gets my groceries, and I'm not able to get out, and I certainly don't need to get out with, my health. I'm not real strong. And then she began to just love on me through that card and encourage me. She said, I'm giving what I can give, but I want you to know I love you, Pastor. And boy, she just encouraged me as she connected with me and promised to pray for me. It made me think of some of my friends, and so I began to make some calls during this week as I prepared for this message. I thought of one of my dear friends that runs a small business here in town. I called him just to say, hey, how's it going? I have a dear friend runs a small business up in Alabama. I called him one evening, just said, and how's it going? A couple of people in the healthcare industry, leaders in our city here, I just picked up the phone and just called and said, man, how's it going? I know it's not easy, it's tough. And you know what I found out? Every time I tried to encourage them, they encouraged me. They gave back more than I could ever give. When the governor gave us that stay home, I called my good friend, Dr. John Sullivan. I love Dr. John. He's been such an encourager to me. He's retired over in Jacksonville, and he answered the phone, said hello, and I said, Dr. Sullivan, I'm calling on behalf of the governor of Florida. He has commanded you to go home and stay with Nancy 24 hours a day. He chuckled through the phone. He said, I don't know, governor, if I can do that or not. I'm just not sure. And we laughed about it together. You need people during this time. You need to laugh together. You need to weep together. You need to encourage one another. Whatever you do, I admonish you, don't lose your faith. Secondly, whatever you do, do not lose your relationships. We need one another. Oh, I'm looking in this room. We're empty today, just a few of us here trying to bring this word to you. But the day will come when we will pack these walls again. This place will be filled again. But dear friend, we're still the church. We're still the church today. Even when we're not gathered but scattered, we're still the church. And we reach out, and this could be our finest hour if we will connect one with another and be transparent about our hurt and our need. I admonish you, don't lose your faith. I admonish you, don't lose your relationships. And then thirdly, in this text, I admonish you today, dear friend, look at this. Do not lose hope. Do not lose hope. When I get down to the end of chapter 142, verse 7 says, bring my soul out of prison so that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me. And then look at this, the last phrase in Psalm 142. For you, he's speaking to the Lord, for you, Lord, will deal bountifully with me. I believe the Lord's going to bring a bounty. I believe that God's going to do greater things in this day than we've ever seen in the life of the church. I believe he's going to do greater things in your life than you've ever seen him do before. God will deal bountifully with me. Psalm 116 and verse number 7, the Bible says, return to your rest, O my soul. David's soul was overwhelmed. Here he says, return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully, hallelujah, bountifully with you, overflowing with you. God brings the miracle in our life. That's what I'm believing God for right now. I'm believing God full of hope that we're going to see greater things happen in these days than ever we've known before. I tell you, there's more people praying. More people crying out to God, more people leaning on one another. I know it's hard, but I'm here to tell you, don't lose your faith. God is on the throne. Do not lose your relationships. You need those. And oh, dear friend, do not lose your hope. Hope. God gives hope within our soul. Right when you think you've gone as far as you can go, God shows up in miraculous action. That's where David is. When we're over in 1 Samuel chapter 23 and we come to the end of chapter 23, we find that David is on the run, and Saul is just about to put his hands on him, but God sends a messenger and says, King Saul, you need to leave the search for David, because the Philistines have arisen. And the Bible says that he turned to go away. And we read in the Word of God in 1 Samuel chapter 23. I began reading in verse 28 where the Bible says, so Saul returned from pursuing David and went to meet the Philistines. Therefore they called that place the Rock of Escape. And then verse 29, look at it. David went up from there and stayed in the strongholds of En-Gedi. He left that stronghold, and when Saul went away, David left Adullam and headed to En-Gedi, and they call the place, look at this, in verse 28, the New American Standard says, they call the place the Rock of Escape because David was in that rock, and on that rock when Saul left, he got out and left. The literal transliteration of this in the Hebrew is slippery rock. Just like the university, slippery rock. They call the name of this place slippery rock because it was there that Saul left and David slipped away and God protect. Friend, just when you think the end is come, I'm telling you, God's going to come up and put slippery rock right in your place and make it the rock of escape, and God will do what need be done in your life. Don't lose hope today. Oh, my goodness, don't lose hope. You say, Pastor, so many people have lost their job. I'm one of those. Don't lose hope. Many people struggling financially. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. You say, well, preacher, you don't understand. I'm just right at retirement. I was about to. Now I can't do it. God may have something else in mind for you. Don't lose hope. So many high school seniors. I've been trying to call some of them this week. Can you imagine being a high school senior and you're getting ready and you want to have the prom and you want to have the last gathering and some in their baseball seasons and coming up to the end and they can't have this event and then graduation. Is it going to happen or not happen? Some valedictorian wanted to give a speech and speak that word. Some salutatorian is going to give that speech. Then some guy like me was going to be asked to pray at graduation. They didn't ask me to give the valedictorian or the salutatorian address, but they did let me pray at graduation. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Amen. And I remember those. Now, those are important days for our state. Seniors, listen to me. I know there'll be some loss here. But God wants to do something in your life. Don't lose hope. I'm telling you, these can be great days for our students as they step forward. There are going to be jobs that are available, opportunities that will be available for you. Do not lose it. God's just about to deal bountifully with you. He's about to pour out on us more than we've ever known before. I admonish you today. As David cried out, you need to cry out. And as David kept faith, you keep faith. As David made relationships, you make relationships. As David had hope, do not lose your hope. I miss you being here. I really do. I'm because one of my favorite times of church is extending an invitation. And seeing someone rise out of the seat and walk here and take my hand. And I always miss when, well, so many times people flood this altar and get on their knees and cry out unto the Lord. Well, today we don't have that kind of invitation for people to step and come down this aisle and come here. But right there where you are at home, right where you are, sitting in your den or an office, you could slip out on your knees today. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, the one who rode into Jerusalem, when they said, who is this? And they said, this is Jesus, the man of Nazareth. Just a few days later, they had nailed him to a cross and he would die for you. And then 3 days later, he'd get up from the grave. And I'm telling you, he died, he was buried, and he arose to save you. And if you'd but believe on his name, you could be saved today. You say, Pastor, I need somebody to talk to about that. Then just take your cell phone. Send me a text. Just text the number 94,000, 94,000. And in the message line, just type out the word Savior, S-A-V-I-O-R, Savior. Just type Savior, and we'll get in touch with you. You say, Preacher, I'm here. I've been saved, but I've never been baptized. Then send us that word. We'll call you and dialogue with you about that. You might want to join this church today. You can go into our chat room and talk with people, or you can just type in Savior, 94,000 on that text. Put that in as the number, type Savior, and let us know you want to be a part of Olive Baptist Church, and we'll be glad to visit with you, talk with you, and invite you to come into the body life of our church. Well, I'm going to kneel right here, and while I kneel, a couple of our folks, John, come on, grab Jamie, grab those ladies, y'all four of you come, and just they're going to just stand around the pulpit and a cappella while I kneel. They're going to sing that first stanza of Rock of Ages. Oh, I love that old song. We talked about it. While they sing this song, I'm going to kneel. And while they're singing, I'm praying. And after they finish that stanza, then I will lead us in a closing prayer. Maybe you, while they sing this song, you might want to slip out on your knees, wherever you are, if it's physically possible for you, and just to kneel. Like we fill this altar from time to time, you just make an altar right there where you are and cry out unto the Lord. If your heart's overwhelmed, your spirit's overwhelmed today, just pour it out unto the Lord and watch Him do a great work within you. Text us. Let us know who you are. Thank you for being a part of this service. Want you to join me tonight at 6 o'clock when we do the Lord's Supper, and that'll be a great service. But right now, let's make an altar with the Lord. I'm going to kneel here. You kneel there. John, you guys just sing that song, that first stanza for us right now while I kneel right here.
Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in Thee. Let the water and the blood from Thy wounded side which flow be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure.
Lord Jesus, thank you for being our refuge that we can run to. Thank you for being the rock, our hiding place, our stronghold, a very present help in our time of trouble. We worship you this morning. We give you praise and glory and honor for the good things you're doing in the midst of a pandemic. We love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Hey, church family. I'm Sam Schwenke, and I'm your Community Connections guy here at Olive Baptist Church. This past week, we were able to continue loving our neighbors even through the coronavirus. Many of the children had to transfer over to homeschooling, and we have a local partner called eCare, Every Child, a Reader, and Escambia. Many of you, our church members, do Reading Pals week by week. Well, that's been canceled because our children have had to go home. So we were able to purchase school supplies for over 70 of those children who couldn't afford their own school supplies to do school at home. Hey, church family, Psalms 34:1 today says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my mouth." I'm so excited to come back together where we can stand side by side worshiping the Lord together. Hey, we're still the church. And if you're loving your neighbor, email us at missions@olivebaptist.org. And we would love to hear how we can support you.
Hey guys, we're glad that you can join us today listening to Pastor Ted Taylor's sermon. I'm sure you and I have learned so much. My name is Sean Pillay, and I serve as a minister of evangelism and discipleship here at Olive Baptist Church. And I have Chris Reese here with me, and also John Huff. Chris, why don't you tell us what you do here at Olive Baptist Church?
Yeah, I don't have such a long title. I'm a high school minister, and so I'm the minister to high school students.
You don't have a long title, but your beard is...
That's where I make up the length.
Okay, John. We're glad to have you. And how you serve at our church?
Yeah, Minister of Education here at Olive, and then also the college students.
Yeah, I'm just really excited to see all the college students together with some high school students serving in this time, serving our community, serving our local church.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great time for their faith to grow.
Yeah.
So we don't not only lose that faith, but our faith has actually grown in the tension of the world around us. I think naturally we kind of want to ask, you know, why am I in this cave? Why am I in this place of isolation? But in reality, I think we should be asking, what are you teaching me right now, Lord?
Right.
Not just in the cave in general, but today. Lord, what are you teaching me today? If we operate with that mindset, not only will we not lose faith, but our faith will actually grow through difficulty. Mm-hmm. And we will find hope, like Pastor talked about. Mm-hmm. We'll be stronger than ever when we come out of this thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. And these are great times. You'll only know the strength of your Savior if you really know that He's your refuge. God is our refuge. And please do not lose faith. You also talked about do not lose relationships. Mm-hmm. Do not lose relationships. Here we have David all alone, is distressed, but he's still crying out to the Lord. Talk about this, Chris, about relationships and how valuable relationships are when we are growing in our faith in Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. I mentioned earlier about some of the values that we hold in our student ministry, and one of them is no one sits alone. Well,
no one sits alone.
No one sits alone. But right now, we've kind of modified it to say no one should be alone. Mm-hmm. You should always have each other in reaching out to one another. Yeah. And so that's why I'm encouraging students really to reach out to each other, because those relationships matter.
Yes.
That's another one of our values, is relationships matter. And we've been studying in Philippians, and Paul is kind of in his cave as well. He's in prison. Mm-hmm. He's on kind of house arrest. Well, he's in quarantine and for 2 years. But he says the gospel still advances while he's in prison.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been telling students, guys. He's, and just like David, Paul is still, whoever comes in his house, the guards, the imperial guards that come in, he's advancing the gospel. He's advancing the gospel. And so whatever relationships that are around our students, their families, the Zooms, their social medias, the friends that are in their community, it matters.
Absolutely.
This moment, these moments matter. The relationships that we have. And so I've just been challenging them, and they have been also encouraging me with reaching out to each other. It's been good to see.
Yeah, it's been really good to see on social media, on our church Facebook page, Instagram, on Twitter, and everyone's posting of how relationships are being fostered with different generations. People coming up, picking up the communion sets at the Corners building. Mm-hmm. And by the way, tonight, 6 p.m., please tune in. Pastor and Miss Liz is going to lead us into communion right into your living room, and you're going to break bread, and we're going to celebrate Jesus Christ around the table. So please look forward to that tonight at 6 o'clock. And this climate that we're living in, and so much of fear, but it's also fostering some healthy relationships. I don't know when last families got together and had a good meal, laughed about things, prayed about things, and relied on the strength. And I think relationships are really being forged.
Right. What's tough, though, is some of us are not able to connect with our family right now. We might be in a cave where we're literally by ourselves.
Yeah.
So that's why, as Pastor encouraged us, everybody pick up the phone and call somebody. Reach out to somebody who you know may be in a cave kind of by themselves right now, so that we do stay connected and we keep that community, that we don't lose those relationships. So pick up the phone, call somebody, text somebody. I'd say today.
Yeah,
there's been some good. There's some singles that have been in our ministries, high school ministry, who have done a phenomenal job at taking this opportunity to reach out, because they don't have family around them, but they're using the church as their family.
Absolutely,
and that has been good.
Yeah, you know what? And if you are watching today and you are single, you know the church gathers and the church scatters, and I know you miss community, but try to use social media and so on to build community. Call, text, and be in touch and keep on growing. And then Pastor also talked about, we need to hear this. Do not lose hope. Jesus is on the throne. Do not lose hope. Yeah. Because he is alive today, John, we have hope.
Absolutely. As scripture says, that hope deferred makes the heart sick. So many of us, our hope is deferred. It's pushed down the road. But when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. Our desires might be changing right now, and our hope might be deferred, but there's a tree of life on the other side of this thing. There's the bounty that Christ taught, or that Pastor talked about, that is for us, for those who are in Christ Jesus.
And having our hope in Christ really is a great time for us now to witness to our neighbors, to witness to our co-workers in our community. The reason why we have confidence is because Jesus never fails. Our hope is built on nothing less but Jesus Christ and righteousness. And that's why it's so important, even in times when we're in our caves and in a time of lockdown, sometimes we are isolated, do not lose fear. Never stop growing in relationships and never lose hope.
Yeah.
Jesus is on the throne. Thank you, guys. Come on. Hey, Chris, thank you so much for what you do with our students. It's so exciting to see our next generation grow and be vibrant and bold in the faith. And John, thank you so much for the connection groups and the way you are leading and the way the connections are happening. My friends, tonight, we're going to be around Pastor. As I said, tune in at 6 o'clock, watch.olivebaptist.org. We're going to break bread together. Jesus is still on the throne. David cried when he was in the cave. He cried to his God. Won't you join us as we cry together to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? You take care, and I'll see you tonight.